The following audio message is from Neighborhood Church in Overland Park, Kansas. At Neighborhood Church, we seek to be a community that loves God and our neighbors together. If you would like to learn more about Neighborhood Church, please go to www.neighborhoodchurchop.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Eli and the band, for leading us, and Roy as well, and preparing our just time together today and pointing us to Jesus. This is the next part. We call it our sermon time. We spend about 30 minutes or so in God's Word together. And my name is Dave Parton, the pastor here. So love to meet you if you're visiting with us today. I'll be out in the lobby. This morning, I just wanted to share with you some good news that's about a family going on in our community, the Beasleys, Curtis and Michelle Beasley. Arthur and Thomas, their two boys, sweet opportunity that God has given them to adopt a daughter. So I don't know if you guys knew about that, but that's something to celebrate. Yeah, God's a God who loves adoption. He's adopted us into his kingdom, and when we have opportunities to redeem a family in this world, some of us hear that calling and say yes, and we want to partner alongside with Michelle and Curtis in this season. Hope this happens in this next year, that she's 4 years old, she's from Taiwan, and that she gets to move in with her mom and dad right here in our neighborhood. So her name is Alice. So so Joel and Kirsten having baby Gertie this week, and then this announcement of this baby Alice. We prayed for girls. Let's continue to celebrate that. Let me pray for this, just peace in this process with the Beasleys, and also as we go into our sermon today. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and adopting us as sons and daughters of the kingdom. And Father, I do pray for the Beasleys in this season where they get to raise Alice, and I pray for this process that there'll be peace for the family, and as it just tends to take way too long for this to happen, that Father, this can happen soon, that this happens quickly and things actually increase in speed. Pray for her and her heart and her love for you. Pray for her brothers, that they will just love having a sister, and that you would continue to help our church wrap our arms around this family as this sweet season happens. We thank you for this passage today, that you would continue to help us grow in understanding of who you are through this book of Romans. We ask all this in your name. And everybody said, amen. I said amen a lot today with the music, and then so maybe we'll say it a few more times. So I hope that you guys would open your Bibles today to Romans 10. The reason why I'm saying open them, because we're going to be bouncing around a lot. And when I teach the Bible and even help coach other guys on preaching, I always try to encourage them, just have like a verse or two. Like don't bounce all over the Bible. You know, pick a paragraph or two and preach that. There's normally enough in that. You know, if you have to do a chapter, just kind of stick to it. But then Paul brings us to Romans 10. And he like quotes like 10 different parts of the Bible throughout this passage. And here at the end, we're going to look at five or six different passages in the Old Testament. So just hang with me today. This wasn't my idea. This was Paul's idea. And I think it'll be insightful. It'll be encouraging. But also, when you read the Bible, and sometimes you're like, what in the world am I reading, and you struggle, just welcome, right? Welcome, because it's going to take, multiple reads through the Scriptures. It's going to take time to study it. It will often take other Bible teachers like I go to, like, learn from to best understand some of these components. But Paul really, really, really knows the Old Testament, right? So if he's writing a letter, he kind of compacts it pretty tight with what he wants to say. And we'll be talking about Isaiah today, Deuteronomy, the Psalms. So we're going to be talking about multiple passages today. So as we read through it in a second, we're just going to read through it, and then we're just going to kind of take it one piece at a time. And what I've tried to do is put some of the references on the slide itself. So sorry about all the slides today, but you're going to kill it, Eleanor. I love it. So my hope is that we got our thinking caps on today, and we're going to work our way through here in Romans 10:16 through 21, and that we will know God more. And we will love him more by the end of of reading his scriptures. Romans 10:16 says this, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Verse 19, "But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, 'I will make you jealous for those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry.' Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, 'I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me.' But of Israel, he says, 'All day long I have held on my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.'" So, as I said, we're going to take it in chunks. Let's read the first chunk again, 10, 16, and 17. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So this implies this idea of hearing the word of Christ, that where faith comes from, that verbal proclamation of the gospel, it's essential for faith in Jesus. This is why we send out missionaries. This is why we hope to, in the blessed rhythms that I talked about last week, that we get to share our story and God's story. It's not merely just to have the gospel exist, that the whole world will be, you know about Jesus and some be saved, but it's through the proclamation, the speaking of the gospel. It reinforces why we should have this evangelistic mandate on our lives, that Jesus says, go and make disciples, teaching them, like you have to say things to people to obey Jesus' commands. So when we preach the good news and share the good news, we have to recognize that it's only then that faith can follow. So our first point, pretty simply from verse 17, point number one, faith comes through the sharing and hearing of Jesus Christ. Faith comes through the sharing and hearing of Jesus Christ. And the sharing piece I put in there because all the verses prior to where we, you know, started today at 16 were about, you know, the beautiful feet of the good news being presented. How will they know if they don't hear? There's a lot of sharing that happens. So I just go ahead and included that in our first point today, because faith comes through sharing and hearing of Jesus. And what's going on here? Where Paul quotes Isaiah 53. Okay, so there should be a few chapters in your minds as Bible readers and, you know, Christians who want to know the Bible. One of them is, we talk about a lot, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and we talk about it a lot because we study that as a church, and there's a lot in that, those three chapters. So there's like a point of the Bible, and like, you want to know the Christmas story, you know, it's like the beginning of Matthew and Luke. It's like, yeah, there's some things I should know. Isaiah 53 should be a chapter that comes to mind, because what we say when we're talking about Jesus, and people ask, like, how do you know about Jesus, is that there's some places in the Old Testament that prophesy about the Messiah coming. And what kind of Messiah, what kind of Savior is going to come? And like, if you can only go to one place, the best place to go is Isaiah 53. And this is what he's quoting here. He's kind of getting this in the mind of the reader. It's the prophetic chapter about the suffering servant of God who would heal the world. And this whole chapter would come to mind as Paul is bringing this up, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, just not chapter, not verse 1 that we just read that Paul quotes, but just a couple verses later. Listen to these couple verses. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Like, this is two of verses of the whole chapter that talks about Jesus 1,000 years or 600 plus years before him. That's a beautiful story to recognize that God, the author of the story of the gospel, has been writing this from the beginning. And when Paul quotes it, He's saying, you must be reminded of the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So Jesus, the Son of God, is the key to the gospel. So I just wanted to walk through the gospel with us. We've been doing the last few weeks because I think it's important. And it kind of gets embedded the more we hear it, the more we say it. And there's kind of five things I want to kind of point out here that should come to mind with what is the gospel. Well, first of all, Jesus is the Son of God who's from heaven. He was born as a baby. And there's a celebration that we celebrate this first point, which is Christmas. Thank you so much. Christmas. That's right. So Christmas comes to mind as the first part of the gospel story. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to earth. Okay, and then what do we know about Jesus, number two? He was perfect. It's very important. Jesus Christ was perfect, the perfect Son of God, never sinned. The Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb, all these like spotless Lamb stories of the Old Testament, they had to go get a Lamb that was perfect. All that points to Jesus' perfection. So the second thing is, not only was the Son of God who came to earth, he's different than you and I. He's sinless. Thirdly, he died on the cross for sin. And what's the celebration that we had here on this day? It's called Good Friday. So it's another celebration. This third point is a celebration of the cross and that Jesus Christ, he was punished. He stretched out his hands and his feet were, there were nails and a thorn on his head. He hung there and he died for our sin, not his sin, because he's perfect. He saved us. So fourthly, he rose from the grave. What's the celebration for this? Easter. So three of these are like literally holidays that we celebrate that are about the gospel. So in Easter, it's this resurrection. Jesus displayed his power, that he truly was the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in power, he lives. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. So number five, the gospel. What is this? Well, it's the good news of these first four things that when you put your faith in Jesus, you say, Jesus, I want to have your life since you took my sin. I want to have your life and you want to follow him. You're a disciple of Jesus. And when he's your Savior, the one who died on the cross for you, and the Lord, the one you follow, you're a Christian. And that's what makes one person a Christian and one person not. The Christian says yes to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and we get to follow Jesus into eternity. This is the hearing that must exist. You must hear the truth of Jesus and accept it. And that's where faith is birthed. This gospel must be proclaimed, preached, shared, heard, and obeyed. And as Paul quoted Isaiah 52 just a couple passages ago, like, how beautiful are the feet who bring this good news. So Paul's teaching us about salvation. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So let's continue reading this next chunk as Paul continues to ask questions to himself and then answer them using the Old Testament. Romans 10:18. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. And this is insightful. When we go to Psalm 19, it's insightful about what Paul is pointing to here. Because there's a word voice here. There's the words to the ends of the earth or end of the world. And he literally talked about hearing the gospel. But then he transitions to this psalm. And I want to read it to you because it kind of brings some more light to the subject. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. And of course, verse 4 is the one that he quotes. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. What is all this? Day pours out speech, night pours out knowledge. And then verse 3, there's no speech. There's no words. The voice that is not heard. And then the voice goes out throughout the earth. What he's trying to communicate is creation. Like, life shows a glorious God. Verse 1, we see there's an all-powerful creator. That's how his handiwork, that's how he did it. God is revealing in verse 2, like, it's all the time, day and night, all the time, God's revealing himself. Verse 3, all types of communication on top of words. Just what we see and what we experience. In verse 4, God's revealing himself to all people. And that's what Paul is pointing to. This all revelation of God saying, here I am, world, here I am, know who I am. This is what kind of God we have. And I just want to read this because it's how Paul started his letter. And this was months ago, Romans 1:19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Point number 2, God has revealed himself in creation. We have this hearing of the gospel, but we also have this like life. You can see life exists, that there's some great organizer of life. And people are without excuse. And Romans 10:18 says, their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. The voice here is creation. He's already talked about the words of the gospel. Now he's saying life. Look at the world. Look at the heavens. Day and night. It's this general revelation of God and nature. It's this voice. It's this wordless testimony. It reveals God's glory and power and what he wants to point to. It's everywhere for everyone. Beauty, complexity, order. But what's the problem that Paul's pointing to next? What's happening to his chosen people? Romans 10:19. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Did Israel understand the implications of this kind of judgment and grace pattern that we find in the Old Testament? There's going to be a Messiah coming, and his salvation is going to be also for the Gentiles. So this passage quotes Deuteronomy. So now we were in Psalms and now we're in Deuteronomy, and this is the end of Deuteronomy, and the word Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, this fifth, I know I count funny, this fifth book of the Torah, these first five books of the Bible, we read them called the Law. When you read the Bible, it's called the Law, these first five books. Deuteronomy, this word deutero means second. So it's kind of the retelling of the Law. And this is the end of the Torah. What Paul's quoting is the end of Deuteronomy. And what's going on in 32:21, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. This is 1,500 years before Jesus. This is Moses, the end of Moses' life. He's 120 years old. He was told he can't go into the promised land because he didn't speak to the rock, but he hit the rock. There's a Bible story there. And in 32:21, we have a whole chapter there of Moses' song. It's like the end of Moses' life. This is what Paul's quoting in Romans, quoting Moses, this giant of faith in the scriptures. He's quoting kind of towards the end of his song. What's Moses wanting to say? This is what he says in Deuteronomy 32:21. They have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. That's God talking. So I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So Paul is referencing this prophetic statement of Moses at the end of his life. And what's happening here? Well, Moses is revealing to us that God has a plan. Justice and grace are going to be happening in the life of the people. So I will make them, Israel, jealous with those who are no people. That's the Gentiles, all of us that are not Jewish. I will provoke them, Israel, to anger with a foolish nation. The Gentiles, that's us. We're the foolish nation in the sentence. Sorry about that, but that's what we are, right? The non-followers of God. So what are we reading? Well, it's this divine strategy of a sovereign God who's trying to wake up his people. Like parents in the room, kind of get this a little bit. Like there's lots of ways to help our kids wake up. And this, in God's ways and how he's chosen to do it, it's kind of like to stir this like spiritual rivalry. You know, it's almost like, you know, I'm just thinking about a teenager. I was one once. You know, it's like rivalry helps you realize what you got. And say you've been kind of a punk to your girlfriend or something. Say that's a reality, like you're not being very nice to her. But then a really cute guy comes up and walks to her and starts talking to her. You're like, sucker, this is my girl. And you start taking good care of her. That's not a weird story because we know that exists. And it's this provoking of recognizing that, hey, you know what? You've turned your back on me, Israel. You're making idols. I'm no God to you. So then I will welcome in another people group. And it's not hatred for Israel. It's a provoking of like, I love you. Wake up. But here's the second thing. It's not just judgment against Israel and kind of a turning his back for a season, but it's a beautiful realization that God wants to save the whole world. Like, that's good news. That's real good news. God is going to send a Messiah that is going to open up the floodgates of love for all people groups, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We've said it for 2 months now because he keeps saying it in Romans. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a beautiful story. So point number three, God uses judgment and grace to save his people. God uses judgment and grace to save his people. God has purposes. He wants to fulfill them. It serves to admonish the Jewish believers to accept God's sovereign plan and gracious actions to outsiders. And he wants to comfort all those that are on the outside. The foolishness, those who had been seeking everything else but Yahweh, can now see the truth through the ways of Jesus, through the salvation of faith in him. Romans 10:20. As we continue in our Romans 10 passage, then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Let's read Isaiah 65:1, where it's from. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. He's speaking of the Gentiles. He's speaking of most of us in the room. The world is going to hear the gospel. They will have the opportunity to find God through Jesus and the church and missionaries and the preaching of the word. And God will say, here I am. Be saved. That's good news for all of us. This is the grace of God revealing himself to the world. In Isaiah 65, oftentimes when a biblical writer will quote like the first or second verse, it's kind of like it kind of sets up that whole section. And this whole section in Isaiah 65 is like God's justice, then God's grace, then God's justice and judgment, and then God's grace. It's back and forth, back and forth. So God uses judgment and grace to save his people. And we find in almost all the Old Testament books, we have a just God. But we have a loving God, a pursuing God. But then God must be just and righteous, but he is a loving God and a pursuing God. And it's all to wake up the earth. Know me. Fall in love with me. Be satisfied in me. I love you. And as we continue, Romans 10, 21. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That's Isaiah 65, 2. That's the very next verse. All day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. As we wrap up, I can't help but think of Jesus. I hold up my hands to a disobedient people. Do you see the justice and the judgment and the grace on the cross? He held out his hands for you. He held his hands for me. In my disobedience yesterday and the day before and the day before, he still held out his hands for me. He loves you. He loves me. The judgment was on Jesus. And the judgment was for the grace for all those who will say yes to him. I hope you feel the judgment and the grace as God is saying, wake up, know I love you. Grace is this gift of love that you are welcomed into the family of God. I know you may not feel at all like you should be welcomed into this perfect family of God and deserve heaven. You don't deserve it. But the beautiful thing is you've been welcomed in if you say yes to Jesus. This is the good news. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the great story of the Son of God who came to take the sin away, the sins of the world. Put your faith in Jesus and just know that those things you did yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before, those can all be forgiven by a perfect God because the punishment's already been done. And then today, which this is what we have today. Let's walk in freedom today. Amen? Today, let's live differently as a church, not because of what we did yesterday, but because of what God has given us today. I hope when you come to Neighborhood Church, you experience freedom and not condemnation. My hope is that you would hear the good news of Jesus and walk out with your head up high knowing God loves you so much that he sent his own son to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. Welcome home to the family of God. Let's review real quick as we normally do before we go to communion. Point number one, faith comes through the sharing and hearing of Jesus Christ. Point number two today, God has revealed himself in creation. And point number three, God uses judgment and grace to save his people. Let's pray. What a message that Paul gave us today as he connected the truths of old to the cross and salvation. God, thank you for revealing yourself to the whole world through this beautiful life we have around us and the great heavens. Father, I pray for anyone in the room who is slow to say yes to you, that today would be the day they say, I want that grace. I want that forgiveness. That they would tell you that and they would say yes to you. Jesus, be with us now as we take communion together. It's in your name. Amen.